Hi, and welcome to Prosody, 90.5 FM's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Tony Mankus. Tony Mankus is the author of three chapbooks, By Land, Graying Ghost Press, By Sea, Treelight Books, and Diplomancy, Horse Less Press. In 2008, he co-founded Flying Guillotine Press with Summer Browning. They make small books. He works as a quality assurance specialist and a writing instructor and lives in Northern Virginia. Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Jen?
I'm good. Really, you've been on Prosody before, but it's been years. So.
Yeah, it's been quite some time, so it's good to be back.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. So you're going to start with some poems.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first couple are from a manuscript titled Captain Verses. For you, I, sun lady, the conchs and reeds and brassy turtle shells have been blown and dusted further off by intrusion. The planks and masts have turned into crosses and door frames, a distorted promise of pearly freedom. Their announcement, dearest landmass, you will be bested. My loverly morn. Hello, potter and your story. Hello, wheatstock. Hello, wood, a drink you'd like, sure. Hello, dearest long-lost love, the sea and sharks within it. Hello, madrigal, stinger of bees. Hello, male person. Hello, water in the glass. Hello, trying to find shade. Hello, absence of pain and fruit that yields flies. Hello, sock glide. Hello, razor drop. Hello, cavalcade of bodies lumped into trains. Hello, corncob pipe. Hello, compartment for sleeping. Hello, Tuesday and Thursday and Sunday malaise. Hello, malodorous sneakers. Hello, country song the radio won't play. Hello, Mitch, king of Canada and rain. Hello, roots sent backward. The birth bone is connected to the death bone. I spell the names of frowns in muscle. Take my sand into the glass with pinchers, and the glass is derivative. I spell your town, but if you want to winter another city, I'm busy mailing letters. I plug in each swell the paper contains, and the problem with winter is left to melting. I put cubes into the bottom. The glass tinks like glass, and the bottom eventually gets wet and splits. What you choose to do after your mouth is done chewing your lip. How your pleasures can be a schedule you keep folding tightly into yourself. You keep your address pocketed, keep unwrapping sent letters, and I am always asking where these things go when they're put into baskets and taken away. There are answers, and there's the glass flaking its way through form. It hovers over and over before being split, spelling each thought in stringy bands, each being reflected in the frown on the so-called glass's face. I'm drawing in the stretches to make space for our questions. I'm sand in the edges. What did you know in advance? Family sketch. No mistakes. You dress your child up like an old lady, curls and petals. The certainty of one loss is another. Containers stored in straight and additional, men suspicious in their handles, women daring in their courts. No one narrates your lasting effects. The loveliest parts of the sky are for plosives.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Tony Mankus, reading his poems. Tony, you said the name of your manuscript is Captain Verses.
Yeah.
And I know you have the section in this this manuscript, the birth bone and the death bone. Can you, I don't want you to explain your book, but could you give us a talk about what you're doing with Captain Verses? It's an interesting title.
Basically, I started it probably about 6 years ago, and the first two sections got turned into the chapbook, so it was By Land and By Sea. And then the birth bone, death bone section is more recent. Last year, a friend of mine, Morgan Lucas Schult, a poet from Arizona, passed away. He had cystic fibrosis, and it's a rough sort of illness. And I was doing office work and sort of just plugging away, thinking about him a bit and thinking about other stuff. But it's basically a sequence of prose poems and then interspersed sort of more lyric snippets, I guess. Just kind of fun playing around with different forms, mm-hmm. too. And in terms of like content, I really have no idea what's going on until like 2 years after it's been down. So okay. I still am not sure what's happening there. But.
Well, this idea of sequencing, you know, a sequence of poems seems to relate to the listing. It seems like there's a lot of listing in your poem, a lot of repetition, and yet it's not expected material. So, you know, sometimes with a listing poem, you sort of know what's coming, but I never know what's coming with your poems. So that's very cool. And can you talk about, you know, if you're not totally clear about everything that's happening in the poem, can you talk about what you feel leads you in the writing?
Yeah, with stuff like list poems or the repetition that I rely on, I think part of it is I grew up Catholic and then dove as far away from the church as I could. But the sort of ritualistic prayerfulness that comes with, you know, repeated speech is very appealing to me. And then with the images and with like trying to create surprise, I think that generally I push toward that. If it's something that I think would be, I don't know, just sort of flat or uninteresting, I try to dive away. Mm-hmm. But
some of it seems sound driven to me also.
Yeah. I feel pulled towards certain sounds. Over a little bit of time within a poem, I kind of want to get back to either slant rhymed something or other, or just, yeah, sounds very important.
Okay, could you read some more?
Sure. This next piece is from a trip to Atlanta that I took to visit family, called My Fake Auction. The dinosaur museum, where they serve large martinis and people hand out sunglasses for trying their brand of booze. In Atlanta, we all went together as fancy people. The stones in the cases, the stones round and beveled, the stones at the base of your jugular notch. You're alone, and that's how you like it. The background says, stick your head through these holes. Someone will picture you as a cartoon. Say the human-faced brachiosaur, and don't think about the eagle carcasses outside the bathroom. How these cases glass us in scene, set, match. We took the stairs up when the band was playing something low tempo. They called our tickets. The timestamp took them. The movie was about elephants in Africa, and a male narrator was pretending to be the male elephant. It was IMAX. And when the elephants draped their dead, we were spilling. No, you can't buy this. Be quiet. What did you know in advance? The plan was hatching a thing like a report. Sounds, when given a bird, a sweet, courier's bill, a new phone carried, salute. The traffic was staggering. Each concurrent noise arose, complete, sampled, a braked line and signature in singular form, the orbit of habit and thought. One eyes what one wants, then looks guilty. Too thin, the cell wall for what being was etched there. The birth bone is connected to the death bone. Brick me a brother, another back. Take the color of the mortar and the pestle and sell the entirety, foundations sealed and stacked. Lick the centuries and seal them up, envelope, wither followers, flowers away. Once the man was a building and beheaded, once the woman warmed her heart full of dandelions, head steady. I seed in fielding, my family waited with soot, the ram's steady push of time against all things, signs propped up inside of us, bleeding. What did you know in advance? The goat would leap, its friends swathed in grass, stained, eat everything. What limits there are, sided, building, a strong jaw. The head tilted like it wants words, the jays to shout more, wants the billboards promised everything. Mulched up into a passable noise, pulled in and sharply released, at the cross section of all and some, equal bulbs on the chewed sun. A bright and bright everywhere. 800. the air there, the year. One builds a flank, builds like too many mall spaces. Small and spilling outward, history lessons suggest Charlemagne. But history is made of the vastness of losers and many men slopping their shouts around. The calendar suggests a bundle of faces pressed against glass, each pane a different starting point. Press here leads to crack. Phone calls are freed from cords, from fingers dipped into circles and pulled. Rotary makes quite the racket. Payphone banks at airports flower into time-lapse dock space. No one waits for the dial tone. The key songs race back to their quiet. If you count all the dots, what a quality. If you form another 500,000 and remove it from this total, you're watching men kick other men into holes. Some suggestive film cutting, some laced cigarette length, the dab of black in a top right corner, what some call burning down the house of hours.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Tony Mankus. He's reading some poems from his manuscript entitled Captain Versus. Tony, I get this feeling when you start reading a poem that I'm already inside a story when we start.
Okay.
I don't know what that means, but does that mean anything to you as the writer?
Yeah, I think there is some sort of inherent narrative, but I don't know if I can suss it out, like if I'm dealing with stories or whatever. I like to be thrown in. I don't like to have all the lead in. And I think it took me a long time to get to that with the poems that I write, because for the longest time, I was writing a lot of fluff on the front and the back end of things, and I had to learn how to cut it away. Mm-hmm. That took me a while to get there.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it seems like the framing, almost all framing is gone from the poem, like any setup or...
Yeah, I don't know if that's disorienting. I worry about that sometimes.
Well, I mean, I think it seems consistent in what you're reading. So then I guess as a reader, we would learn how to read the poems. You know,
okay,
that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I like the sense of feeling like I'm already inside the story. I may not know exactly what the story is, you know, at the beginning, but then I move with it. So yeah, okay. I think it's great.
Cool.
And you do give us plenty of clues, but I've also been getting feelings from the beginning when you started reading about movement and loss. I just kept thinking, more feeling that the poems you were reading were about a relationship between movement and loss. Hmm. And then and you have phrases like the orbit of habit and thought and then in the poems you were just reading, I was just feeling a sense of inevitability and almost instructions on mortality.
Huh.
I don't know. Does any of that hit you in any way?
That's heavy. Yeah.
Well, the poems feel heavy to
yeah,
me in,
yeah,
a, in
think,
a good way.
I think that that's something that I'm constantly, unfortunately, constantly dwelling on. Maybe not unfortunately, but we're here and that's what makes us all the same. I think we're all headed in the same direction, whether or not that's a little morbid, I think, but it's also the condition of all things that live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for me not to have that sort of as the backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of movement, I feel like I write most effectively when I'm traveling. And I think a lot of this stuff sort of sprung out of notebooks that I kept while either like going to visit friends or family or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. My wife and I have been bouncing around a lot over the past couple of years. You know, her family's up in Boston, so we have to take that long 9-hour trek up to Boston from D.C., and it's a lot of time just on the road and in my own head.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that, what that relationship is between writing and travel, if you know it?
I don't know that I could totally flush it out, but...
Which is what happens to you, like, you know, you're just you're just on the road and there's just things start coming, or what happened?
Yeah, I think you just kind of get, I kind of dive into my head and then get wiped over by it. Like maybe phrases or just the fact that constantly being between two places rather than in either one of them. Mm-hmm. So there's some sort of like displacement that happens that feels really productive to me, because I've sort of moved away from trying to write strictly, you know, I don't know, personal poems. Mm-hmm. I grew up writing more narrative-based mm-hmm. Material, and I kind of got tired of my own life mm-hmm. in a way, if that makes any sense. And I feel like some of the best language that I could find happens when I'm not set, or if I'm like doing something else mm-hmm. mm-hmm. that happens to me at work oftentimes too. So I'll keep a notebook on the side and kind of.
That makes sense. Yeah, when you're not focused on it and trying to write, you know, when you're somewhere else, then it comes.
Yeah. And I feel like it's good to have space to sit down and push at things and purposefully write too. Sure. But I feel, on the road or in planes, my head works at words pretty regularly there.
Okay, could you read more, please?
Sure. This next two are this project that I was hopefully going to try to do, writing a poem a week about Paul Newman, about his about his films. I was going to watch a film and try to build a manuscript around that, but so far I've gotten like four poems, but here are two of them, and they're both dealing with Cool Hand Luke, which I didn't get very far. Against the Still. How can a man eat so many eggs? I know it's fiction, but believe in what's possible. The cut heads of parking meters jangling, a future where everyone parks for free. In the Still. When he sings abalone shell, Mother Mary, rain beating up the roof, take care with the lights, Luke, how you won first by losing. This next one is another listing poem called Behind the Times. I will die in a fort of strapture fit with laughing, in a fit of rapture, a fort-like structure fit with laughter. I will die without punctuations or monetary curbs, cures, curves, in an unctuous nation without monastery crabs. I will die in a town named After. I will die 1,000 times a sparrow, but only once a corvus. I will die with my love bound up, books in hand. I will die with my hand bloated and dipped in ink. I will die in the eyes of my wife's fast blinking. I will die in the throat of my school child as she learns her alphabets. I will die in the band sounds stilled beneath the metal bleachers. I will die in the keys of the janitor as he presses the pedals of the uptight piano. I will die on a midwinter's day and on the after police shot of summer, walking onto the moving grass. I will curl up into smoke and Dramamine, and the goats will eat their cans and chew the grass sprigs from my sockets. I will die with my family's crest, a series of spaces between the waves called loneliness. I will die in the cornucopia of a faltering nation, identified by its apathy. I will die tomorrow, and tomorrow, and the rest of the hem will come undone and wrap you up in bed. I will die in the manner of campfire. I will die on the off-ramp of an odd-numbered highway, salt still frosting the lines. I will die of my wife's fear, dropping out of the sky as my own fear finds another me inside these dreams I've signed. I will die of long in the tooth, of rickety rails, of choose-your-own-adventure and plaid patterns for adults. I will die sweating inside a handshake, the palm gone fish-like. I will die in every curtain of lake water interpreted as a walkable iceway.
So you were going to write a whole book of Paul Newman poems?
I was hoping to, yeah, and I still am. I hope in the next year or 2 years, I'll actually get 52.
52?
Yeah, a year's worth of weeks of Paul Newman.
Okay. So tell us what you love about Paul Newman. I mean, we all love Paul Newman, but tell us what you love about him.
Well, I don't know. He seemed like probably, did a great bunch of good. And obviously he was a very good looking man, a fine actor.
Do you have a crush on him?
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. a good race car driver. I don't know. And yeah, I just kind of got enamored of him and, thought I'd try to dig into his film canon or whatever.
Maybe you could write about something about Hud. I mean, him and Patricia Neal. That would be a great poem, wouldn't it?
Yeah, wow. That'd be great.
I think you should put her in.
Okay, yeah. Okay. We'll do. Cool.
Okay, so we have time for some more poems.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Word lived under boldly. The pastures say, a whip for tune, a clobber by time. If set were to complete itself, if table and then chair tied, if bulleted by list and discrepancy, the gross replacement, a nine-like number pulled from a pocket card, saying, we watch the con men gather each season. We pit our favorites against the skyline, whatever Tennessee. We say our players are not it, and dip our heads into the sink. The clippers sound real sharp, thinking shapes begin with heart, and stretched through line, through hobble walk, through ire. I'm not a person easy to must. My east is some southward cast. The reel and cradle, the skim and rain. Cattle, you make the bed, a bed before getting up. From your body, all these ruins. From your skullcap, trading teacups. I wheel the horse into its grass stains. Our sneezes make a chicken grain, make the yard form. If it was a farm, some say a town. And all the benign order sustained there. Rows and trowels, houses plant, one dominion power bill, this stake you plead. Voice like a fit tight O-ring, water pushes through. The piping cost at strip, the chores and clothing piled like lawns on top of dirt, on top of a population, dried at entry in a century of rising temperates. City of damp nozzles, the bar lowing and cow-like, a soot with holes all in it, meaning think, meaning I am want to. Meaning you've been stolen. This poem is for my wife. It's called Little Love Poem. Be my Cleopatra, my soft and wise hammer. Be my Alexander, by my Valentine, my trouble, door benign. Be my little hand, shake, my coughing, red flower. Be my Zitra, my flu and sea and lack of charm. Be my lip-red sitcom, my atrium and floor. Be my loose conundrum, my spiffy new attire. Be my catapulted florins, my change bed and desire. Be you forever, be mine.
Nice poem.
Thanks. Common statement. You need your back. You flex your muscles in friendship. Water the plants only when they're drooping. The sky is a light-made factory. The winter seems to want to crawl everywhere like a baby on foot warmers or a caterpillar for best friend. You grow your overcoat and suits of hair comb your body. The rooster crows and the crows all gather on one wooden post. We'll call it thorny, lick our lips in anticipation. You put all of your fingers in the sock to move it. Someone gathers a bunch of dead plants and hands them to the vase. You add before dividing, and the volume knob threatens well below average sounds from the pewter set of lifelike figures. You take the curtains down and replace them with pelts. It rainbows along the freezer. You know how to draw people's faces in big, how to laugh when it means you're serious, and what look to cut from the magazine and paste on top of the body of your former employer. You've never held a job tight or a tambourine skin. Mistakes you've made are corded in with stars. A child inside you grows. You make cups and cups of water disappear. The plug in the hole and the filter in the mine. You cream up vegetables and serve them on tiny plates. The hunger your soul requests, a balancing act somehow you've undone, waddling and cocooned. You crack your best friend open for protein. Your hair is like a fountain. You begin to squeam. You can't say the word scream. You're a form again. Swim in place, stamp on the edge of your things. A hole the size of a human you leave. Now you're across at the stop, almost walking, mad when it says to be. Your envelope sealed and resealed, a hot glue gun, something to draw with. The sparkles dusting every bit of switch you touch. You've licked your fingers and the dust. You've taken a camera to the bathtub, separated your pages by number, the saddle on the highway and the metal on the lip. You put your pictures in your candy-colored wallet, tough in its hardest part. You touch the hot stove with a piece of foil, clamp your hair down in a camp, and ask your neighbor for a cup of noodles. The tent you've borrowed is getting rowdy. You sleep with arrows drawn across your fingers, a black and thorny settlement pressed up all around. This next thing was paired with a photo that a friend of mine took. And for the month of April, my wife and I are doing a project where she takes a photo and sends it to me, and then I'll write something in response to it. We're very behind on that. But the mind, you say, tastes like what we imagine. In this photo, it was a daddy long legs over the top of a grasshopper, and the daddy long legs has this really creepy old man face, and it's getting ready to apparently chomp into the grasshopper. Sort of, again, morbid, but...
Thanks for giving us that image.
Yeah. I am here to bid you goodbye, and you will not know when I've gotten to. One eye balds, another circles backward. You know things like wood and the jokes the termites make. One coats with armor and another with string. The most dear parts of remembering wilt as well, as my legs attest, my stripes and backdrop, a drowning wing the rain addresses. Here this offer stands. It takes my joints and scatters them, a lectern, this body before me. The math of it, a perfect language, each curve and cure gone silent now from the sawing. And size makes no different pact with what leaves us. I say, you see it in my face. There. This next one's untitled. Girl, walk like a weapon. Take the body inside you and wear it out. Take the street and plane, an arithmetic semblance, and wear right through it. Girl, walk like a weapon. Take your similes and constellate them. Take your smile and press it against the suitcase for a friend. Hold your hand, hold your head, hold your steady. Save, save, save. The shake in the shuttle before it pulls apart, 1984, overhead. Cost wags against gasps, complete. The room full of children with a wheeled away television.
The poetry of Tony Mankus. Thank you so much for being here. That was great.
Thanks for having me again. It was great to be here.
You've been listening to Prosody, a weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Ellen Wadey. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in Saturday mornings at 6:30 for Prosody 90.5 FM.